I'd like to call the meeting to order for the February 13th Library Joint Powers Board meeting, and also welcome our new board members. Thank you. We have a roll call.
Supervisor McPherson?
Here.
Citizen Gert?
Here.
Citizen English?
Here.
Council Member Matthews?
Here.
Council Member Reed?
Here.
Council Member Terrazas?
Here.
Supervisor Friend?
Here.
Council Member Termini?
Here.
Thank you. Do you have any motion or to approve the agenda of February 13th?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, it passes unanimously. Oral communications. I'd just like to start out and say, just regarding the closed session, we met prior to this meeting with our lead negotiator, Lisa Sullivan, and provided direction regarding labor negotiation. That's our report out from closed session. Are there any other oral communications? Seeing none,
wait.
Sir?
Hi, I'm Bruce Holloway from Boulder Creek. I want to read a few things, and I think I might be able to do it better if I'm sitting down, so if you mind if I...
You can stand, you have 3 minutes, but...
Do you mind if I remain seated?
You can stay seated or stand, whichever you prefer.
I just wanted to talk about how many votes it takes to pass a resolution for this board. I kind of asked this naive question a couple months ago, and I got referred to some words in the bylaws that say, adoption of a motion shall be by simple majority of the members present voting. And so after I got quoted these words, I looked for these words in the bylaws, and the sentence begins with, unless a different rule is expressly provided herein. And so then I looked around to see if there was a different rule provided herein, and I did find it in Article 8 of the Article 8, Section 2 of the bylaws. It says a majority vote of all members shall be required to approve any motion. So that to me sounds like that would be 5 votes. And then I also found section at the end, there's an article about amendment of the bylaws, and Section 2 says, these bylaws shall not be considered or construed as superseding the agreement between the four parties. So the agreement between the four parties is a joint powers agreement, and so I looked to see what it said, because the bylaws can't supersede that. And it says, actions of the board shall be effective upon approval of a majority of the members of the board, which also sounds like 5 to me. And I think the beauty and the genius of this is that no single jurisdiction can set library policy, not the county with 4 representatives and not the city with 3 representatives. But it doesn't seem like that's the way this board has been conducting itself. So I just wanted to point out, also it's, So this number is the same as a quorum, and the words are basically the same. It's the same number to approve a motion as to as a quorum. And so I just wanted to point that out to you. That's my reading of the joint powers agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak for an item that's not on the agenda? See, now we'll take it back to item 4, the election of the new citizen member.
Okay, so I put the applications back in your packet this month. You have the interviews last month. We have 2 individuals who are interested who you spoke with last month, Martha Dexter and James Anastas. Did I get it right? Okay. And so basically it's now up to the board to take a vote. So it's basically a nomination and approval.
I'd like to nominate Martha Dexter.
I'll
second.
Okay. Motion by Ms. Matthews.
Close
second.
Nominations, right?
Or see if there are other nominations as well.
Second by Dick. English. Any other nominations? Okay, seeing none. I'd like to take it back. Do you have a comment on this item?
Yes, please. I'm sorry to say this, but I think that the process for filling this seat has been fundamentally flawed, because joint powers agreement says that citizen members are to be appointed at large from the library service area. And to me, at large is fundamentally different than having district elections. So the words at large appear exactly once in the joint powers agreement. A number of years ago, it was in 2000, the city of Santa Cruz had this kind of a question before it. And so there was a Measure T back in 2000. And I've got a copy here of the impartial analysis by the city attorney, Measure T. He says, currently each of Santa Cruz's 7 city council seats is filled pursuant to an at-large citywide election. And then he goes on to say, this initiative, if adopted by the voters, would amend the Santa Cruz City Charter so as to provide for city council district elections. So there's a fundamental difference there. And this was not at the discretion of that governing board. This needed to be approved by the voters. And I think for you to establish districts, instead of having at-large appointments, would have to be approved by the parties to that joint powers agreement. And this impartial analysis was signed by John Garrisoni. So I just want to make that objection before you vote.
Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Refresh my memory, didn't when we sent out these applications, we opened it up to anyone in terms of the application process, in terms of when we were looking at those that were applying for these seats?
The actual joint powers agreement states that the citizen members shall be elected at large representing geographic diversity of the area, and that's what the district decision established, was to how to define geographic diversity, and that was all approved by John Barrison in December when the board voted on that. So as far as city attorney is concerned, that was a legal vote and decision, and that's where it is.
Okay, Jim?
So just to be clear, the city attorney or the library system attorney has reviewed this matter and is completely comfortable that what we're doing is compliant with his understanding of the law.
Yes.
Any other questions? I think we'll take this for a vote. We have a motion for Ms. Martha Dexter and a second. All those in favor for appointment to the library board?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Martha will now be seated.
Welcome, Martha. You can join us.
And thank you, James.
Thank you. Moving right along, so we have next item is a presentation of new staff.
Yes, this is something we do with city council when we have new staff. And, well, why don't I do it for the library board when I have new staff? So we have 2 staff members that started, one February 4th, one February 11th. One is Denise Fritsch. Denise, would you stand? Why don't you stand up? Denise is our new volunteer coordinator. Those of you may remember that Laura Whaley, who was in that position during the restructuring, got a librarian position when one of the librarians retired. So another librarian retired. So Denise brings extensive experience in volunteer management to her new role with us. She was director of volunteer services at Dominican Hospital from 1994 until 2009, and during that time also served a term as chair of the statewide Volunteer Directors Coordinating Council. Along with 3 colleagues, she literally wrote the book on hospital volunteer management for the California Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. In 2010, Denise was hired by Momentum for Mental Health in San Jose to revamp their volunteer department. By the time she left that agency in January of this year, the number of active volunteers had grown by 300%. Denise was also responsible for oversight of Momentum's Learning Academy and business development programs. She's a native Californian and has lived in Santa Cruz County since 1979. She and her husband, Greg, who is an acting teacher and theater director, make their home in Ben Lomond. They're very proud grandparents of 2-year-old Sam. We're having grandparent fights over here because the other person's also a new grandparent, so mine are best, of course. 2-year-old Sam, who lives in Toronto, Canada, with their daughter and son-in-law. And in her free time, Denise loves traveling, cooking, and photography, but has just about given up on vegetable gardening. A passion I share, giving up on vegetable gardening. So join me in welcoming Denise.
Welcome, Denise.
Really counting on her to bring our volunteer program to the next level. Laura did a great job, and now it's time to go to the next level. Our next new employee is Shelley Bottomer. Shelley? Shelley's our new division manager for collection management services. And Shelley has been working in libraries since 1988, when she started with the Menlo Park Library, and has worked for both public and academic libraries, obtained her master's from San Jose State in 2002, and most recently, she was the cataloging manager at Multnomah County Library in Portland, Oregon, so I get another Oregonian here. While Shelley has staffed reference and circulation desks, her true calling has been behind the scenes in technical services. And she provided a quote from Robert Bresson, who describes what technical services means to her. Make visible what, without you, might perhaps have never been seen. Shelley believes that the staff and technical services begin the process of connecting patrons with the information they're seeking, which is just in line with our mission. And she is looking forward to working with all staff to help make Santa Cruz the best library it can be. She's excited to be back in California, particularly Santa Cruz County, and can't wait for her husband to join her from Oregon. Together, they have 2 children and a beautiful 1-month-old granddaughter. If you ask, she'll gladly show you pictures, but then you have to look at mine and Denise's as well. So, anyway, welcome, Shelley, and we're really excited to have both of you. And I apologize to you city council members, because you're going to hear the same thing.
Yeah, it's great. I look forward to it a second time. Thank you. Welcome.
Recently, you forgot Gail's, too.
Gail's grandchildren?
Yeah.
Well, they're not new.
Okay, let's move on to the next item, which is our Big Read proclamation.
Janice can't be here tonight. She's asked how to be at a school board meeting, I believe related to Big Read, unless she can be tonight. We have an extra member of the board here tonight. This is, everybody know who that is? Ron Steinbeck.
Yeah.
Big Read is Grapes of Wrath this year, and it starts February 27th with the kickoff at the Museum of Art and History at 5:30, and apparently I am emceeing. We have a proclamation, which I'm hoping that our board chair will read for us.
I will right now. And this is great, and I want to thank everyone that's been involved in this. It's been a series of meetings that have been going on regularly, and a lot of activities surrounding this. So. Whereas the Big Read is an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts, designed to restore reading to the center of American culture and encourage reading for pleasure and enlightenment. And whereas the NEA presents the Big Read in partnership with the Institute of Museum and Library Services and in partnership with Arts Midwest. And whereas 78 communities across the country will spend a month immersed in a great work of literature in the 7th year of the Big Read Initiative. And whereas the Friends of the Library, in partnership with the Santa Cruz Public Libraries and Santa Cruz Writes, received a Big Read grant for the Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. And whereas from February 27th through March 27th, the goal is to have the entire Santa Cruz community reading, viewing, and listening, and talking about the Grapes of Wrath and other works of John Steinbeck. And whereas to encourage broad participation in the local Big Read event, staff at the Santa Cruz Public Libraries, volunteers with Friends of the Library, writers with Santa Cruz Writes, local school districts, the Museum of Art and History, community television, and local businesses and groups will host a number of events highlighting the work and life of John Steinbeck. And whereas events and activities will include discussion, groups, reading, Steinbeck, a photography exhibit, portraits from the 1930s, which are around us now, performances of music from these times, reflections on workers' lives in California, and which will culminate with a grand finale event on March 27th at the Museum of Art and History. And whereas the combination of literature, history, and the arts, and the month-long focus on the Grapes of Wrath will serve as a celebration of the life of Don Rothman, who contributed so generously to the planning of this Big Read and to the Poe Big Read before it. Now, therefore, I, David Terrazas, do hereby proclaim February 27th through March 27th, 2013, as the Big Read Month in the Santa Cruz library system and encourage residents to participate in the many events focusing on the incredible life and work of John Steinbeck. Thank you.
And I will add that those of you who were not at the meeting in January, I gave you a brochure. Those of you who were here in January got the temporary brochure. The real one's done now, but we're being stingy. So handed out the, there are some here for the photo exhibit.
If anyone's interested.
There's also a website. And I will tell you that next year what we're looking at doing for a community read, rather than doing a big read, which has a very limited list of titles and authors, we're hoping to do a community read in cooperation with Watsonville and do a whole county, Santa Cruz County read program.
Great.
So it won't be grant funded, but we're looking for other sponsors.
So are we not going to participate in the big read?
We won't do the big read. Big read is a grant that you apply for.
And because we've gotten it a couple times in a row.
We might get it again, but the limit, the authors and titles are very limited. And so we just felt we wanted something that would be more inclusive. It also, the big read technically, you have to focus just on a city.
Right.
We kind of expand it to cover all of our branches, but we really want to do something that's countywide to bring us all together.
Well, especially if you're going to do it countywide, and it's not going to be tied to grant money, and we're going
right.
to have a little bit more flexibility. I know
yes.
there are a lot of local school districts who,
yes.
the earlier we involve them, the better.
Yeah.
And we did a nice job outreaching both this year and with Poe last year to local school districts. But I think the earlier the better we communicate with them. I think you'll
yes.
have a lot of success.
I think they're going to start as soon
yeah.
as this one's over.
Great. Okay.
Dennis wasn't here to hear me say that.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the resolution in support of SEA 7.
I gave you a staff report for this resolution. I think many of you are aware that Honorable Lois Wolk has introduced legislation that adopts a constitutional measure to reduce the local vote threshold for local special taxes and construction bonds from the current two-thirds vote to 55%. And as you, I think you're all aware, we're going to be facing some critical decisions regarding the future of our facilities, and facilities master plan is going to be coming before you very soon. And this measure could make a huge difference as we work to achieve that welcoming place objective in the strategic plan. So for some selfish reasons, you should be supporting this, but also it's the right thing to do. Libraries have pretty much lost any sources of funding to build facilities. There was a bond issue a number of years ago just for libraries to build, and that's gone. RDA is gone. There simply isn't money in operating budgets to cover this, so we really need some mechanism, and this is, we're really hoping that this will pass. So I'm asking that you pass this resolution, and I realize that there's a typo on the one in your packet. We corrected that. To support this measure, and just we'll send it on to the legislature. I've written a letter, and I've encouraged the Friends Advocacy Group to write, and be appropriate coming from this board.
Thank you, Teresa. Councilmember Reed, you had a question?
Yeah, if this passes the legislature, and Supervisor McPherson might be able to help on this, but if this passes the legislature, it's going to require a vote of the people to,
yes.
to validate this, right?
Yes.
And the earliest that vote of the people can be is November 2014?
Probably November 14, which is going to be problematic for us, but we'll work with that.
And if we had something on the ballot concurrently with that, we would have to get two-thirds. If the 55% threshold was to be approved by the voters, and we had something that was on the ballot at the same time.
That I don't know. I don't know if Supervisor McPherson knows that or not.
Wouldn't you have to find the vote by the people?
Yeah.
Because the people will have to validate the change of by lowering the threshold from two-thirds
right.
to 55.
Right. Yes.
And if they're approving that in March, or forgive me,
November.
In November of 2014, and that same day we're asking them to vote on the library bond, because by the time they're voting on the library bond, if the other measure is successful, lowering it to 55%, that won't have passed. We're still going to be hemmed in by the two-thirds requirement, I'm assuming.
I would assume so, too, which means we may look at alternate methods of voting. We may look at a mail vote.
Or a special after in early 2015, something like that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, my only comment was I'm fine for the resolution. It doesn't say anything about the fact that the high threshold of two-thirds vote is fundamentally anti-democratic. I don't know if anyone cares to add that, or we just observe it. But anyway, I'm happy to move the resolution.
I don't disagree with that. I don't think we ought to go there, though.
Yeah.
voice of experience.
I know, that's why I said I'm moving this as is.
We had some, any comments, public comment on this item? I'll bring it back, so is there a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
A second.
Councilmember Matthews, seconded by Supervisor McPherson. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. And I'd encourage all of our individual council members or supervisors to take those back to the local jurisdictions to do similar measures.
That would be great.
Yeah.
And if you let me know, I'm sure your jurisdictions know who to send it to, but I can facilitate that as well.
Okay, are there any member reports? No.
Let's see, I don't know if this is appropriate, but I met informally with the Friends group of the Silva Beach Library a few weeks ago just to hear their interest in the library system, to hear what they were looking forward to in the way of improvements to their branch, and to understand what their suggestions were for improved library services. So it was an interesting meeting and provided the highlights of the meeting this week.
Great, thank you.
Actually, I did have something. We have a group of three teachers visiting the city of Santa Cruz. They're from our sister city of Alushta in the Ukraine. And we arranged for them to visit several city departments, including the library. They met with Janice O'Driscoll and Jeannie O'Grady, and particularly learned about, these were teachers, so they learned about programs that involve kids or schools, early literacy, children's reading programs, and so forth. And they left it.
Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is the consent agenda and approval of the minutes from January 14, 2013. Councilmember Reed's motion, is there a second?
Second.
Board Member English, all those in favor?
We need to abstain.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions?
Four
abstentions.
Fine. So you've got a five.
Thank you. Next item is the Friends of Santa Cruz Public Library's report. Hello.
I'm Maureen Hall. I'm the secretary of the board of the Friends of the Library, and this will be brief, and I do know how to do that. In February and March, we're co-sponsoring the Big Read. You've already heard a great deal about that. And we, our board volunteers to help out in any way at these events and or attend. A lot of us just like to go anyway. We're having our first multimedia market, and that means that we're taking the things we normally sell and putting them all together, books, audio, movies, and so forth. And it's from 1 to 4 p.m. on March 31st. Part of this will be, I believe, Teresa, we're going to basically get rid for a few pennies of some of the really old stuff, along with some really good stuff. We have a retreat scheduled, and we had one last year, which this is Pete Cullen, who's the president of the board, and instigated, and it's come out very, it's been one of those retreats that you never believe is going to result in stuff, and it really does. I mean, it's not that I personally don't like them, so, but it worked great. It was wonderful. And we're having our spring book sale, which you are probably familiar with. It's usually at the Civic. We're having it outdoors this time, which will save us the price of renting the Civic. And hopefully, just because it's outside, people will see it. It's going to be in the parking lot. I think that's, we've got approval for that. So, okay. And if we are also beginning to collect books for that sale, and I know you all have a thousand things to do in your lives, and I personally have gone around my own neighborhood, which is up the hill up here, and given people flyers and said, if you've got books, I'll come get them. So if you've got books, I'll come get them.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul Macklin. Felton Library Friends, which is a chapter of the larger Friends group. I wanted to make two brief announcements. Next Wednesday, we have our third annual Readathon, which is an interesting event where roughly 10 community members read from some of their favorite literature. And our, I guess you could say, our star this year is Tandy Beal. And we will have also high school students reading their essays on This I Believe, which is a very wonderful part of that event. So it's from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. No one is expected to attend all 3 hours. It's a drop-in event. We've also put out our call for the 9th annual San Lorenzo Valley Poetry Reading. Once again, Poet Laureate for the County, David Swanger, will be our poet host. And this is an event where we invite poems in age categories, and we get poets from age 4 dictated poems to their parents, all the way up to people in their 80s. David makes a selection, and they read their poems at an event that will be held on April 25th. And a very enjoyable part of that evening is that we invite 5 community leaders from the San Lorenzo Valley to read a favorite poem as well. So both events will be happening in the next couple months. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. So the next item on the agenda is the staff reports. Teresa?
Okay, so for you new board members, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you all about how everything works. The monthly report is basically the previous month, up until as close as we can till deadline. And it follows the strategic plan. So it follows the strategic objectives, the goals. And so we're trying to report back on what we're doing within the confines of the strategic plan. So that's the format of it. And I'm not going to mention anything there unless you have any questions about anything that's in this particular monthly report. So that's really just the activities of the library over the past month.
Any questions regarding?
Okay, the statistical report. You may have noticed that there's no circulation statistics, and there's a footnote. We're having some issues with our new computer system. And we've got a lot of issues we're dealing with, and one of the questions we have is they can't tell us when we get circulation statistics, what does it actually reflect? Does it include the self-checkout machines? Does it include renewals? Does it include some other things? And so we haven't had time to investigate that because they're so knee-deep in trying to solve other issues that are going on, and that we decided let's just pull the circulation statistics for now until there's time to make sure we're giving you accurate information. So the visitor information is based on door count, you know, clickers, electronic eyes that are counting, so we can give you that calculation. But I can get self-check statistics from each self-checkout machine, but I can't tell you what percentage of total circulation is because I really don't know what that total circulation figure is. So we're hoping that in a couple more months we'll be able to come back and report it, and I'm hoping we'll be able to go back and capture what we're missing. So that's the issue on statistics.
Teresa, is that the open source program?
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the problems. Go ahead. One of the many. So that's going to be another subject for discussion shortly. I guess we're on the financial snapshot. And before Marcus goes into reviewing that, I wanted to just say that we normally in February do present kind of budget priorities for the next year to kind of kick off the budget process for the following year. We did not do that this year because of several reasons, one of which being the Library Financing Authority meeting was moved to February because it was not a quorum in January, so we didn't have projections to work with. So also with the two major plans sitting out there, the Facilities Master Plan and the IT Strategic Plan, they're really going to have a huge impact on what the budget priorities are. So I'm hoping at the March meeting to just give you a general overview of what I think the priorities should be in the budget, but we're probably going to be a little bit late in the budget process this year just because of all the other things we're facing. So that's my comment on the budget. So, Marcus.
So contained in the report, and for those of you first time, of course you saw this days ago, the snapshot report is a summary of the financials that the Finance Committee reviews every month. We've tried to distill down some of the key operating lines, revenue lines, and expenditure lines, so that when the board's looking at this, they're not bombarded with 18, or it was somewhere near 11. pages of different line item detail of operating lines, and you get lost in the details. We really wanted to pull out from those the key revenue lines and the key operating lines. Not to say we couldn't add other ones or subtract if there's interest in seeing other lines. So that's just a general overview of what you're seeing there. It's just a summary of the total operations presented in a format that is a rolling period, so you'll always have a 3 month review. So you'll see the current month with the prior 2 months that roll together to be a YTD, year to date. Sorry, I'm a finance geeky guy. I try not to avoid acronyms, but every once in a while they still sneak in. After the year to date column, there's a boxed out section that contains the adopted budget amount and then how we compare year to date to the budget. And if we just programmed out where we should be to the budget, we then get the last column that how are actual compared to the budget. And if you, for example, if you look at the total revenue line, revenue is 2.1% ahead of budget. That's a good thing. We've collected 2.1% more than the budget would have forecasted for the first 6 months of the year. Conversely, if you go down to the expenditure line, it's 4.9%. That means we're 4.9% under budget. So from a cash fiscal guy, that's good news. We've had discussions with the Finance Committee at the board previously about do we want to be under budget in operations? And I think policy decisions are at all levels, police department or otherwise, where you want to be operation level. So that's just, I just want to provide that general overview on the operation side. Rolling down a little bit further, there's another box down below, key balance sheet items and key operating indicators. I'm looking. One just tracks some of our key balance sheet components, cash, total current assets, your short-term debt, what do you owe in the next couple months, and your long-term debt. If you're to think about what are your credit card bills versus what is your mortgage payment. And so we kind of just keep a running track of that, and then we do some ratio analysis to understand quickly where we stand. So if we look at our current assets, which is cash plus current assets, versus our short-term liabilities, our credit card debt, you want to be at least 2-to-1 where you have enough money to pay your current debt plus extra on the side. We're at 28-to-1, so we're way above, in a good way. I'm not saying that's bad. We're a strong financial entity right now. And that's good news for an agency that rolled back the clock a year or 2 years ago. The storylines were different. If you looked at our current assets versus our long-term liabilities, can we pay off our mortgage? We can pay off a mortgage 10 times over. So we're really strong compared to our long-term debt. So from the board's perspective, we have debt capacity. If we were, not yet, we are a JPA entity, but if banks were willing to loan to a JPA entity, if there was a library, we'd be able to borrow money easily. That's not so easy in the private sector to have banks loan to this type of an entity. But it's possible if you just want to pay a higher rate. We then look at where your reserves, percent of reserves. The board established to get to a 10% goal of reserves by 16-17, the year that begins July 1st of 2016, 3 years from now. We're at 17.9%, so we've already hit that targeted reserve level. 16% is 2 months reserve, so we've got 2 months plus a little bit on reserve. So from a fiscal standpoint, your balance sheet is strong, your cash is strong, your reserves are strong. Go on, but I need to slow down as we say. So just going into the details, the month of December finished what is the current pattern of we're receiving more than we're paying out. We received $234,000 more in revenue than we paid out in expenses. Again, that's a good thing from a fiscal standpoint. The individual line items, payroll, is tracking under budget, and that's partly due to timing and vacancies. And earlier in the year, we weren't fully staffed up to the budgeted amount yet, so that's kind of a rolling forward impact. We were under budget for the first couple months of the year, and we do have a vacancy.
Major vacancy. Manager vacancy.
That is continuing forward being vacant. So that's the drivers in why we're 6% under budget on payroll. Again, that's a good thing from a cash standpoint. You don't want to be over budget. Our other operating line items, books and grants, were 57% ahead of budget, so we spent more than the first 6 months just on a budget would have looked. That's a good thing. You're buying books, you're buying periodicals. As a library, that is your goal and mission, so I think you want to do that, just not exceed the budget. And there's nothing wrong. along with spending the 100% in the first couple months and then living off that.
And actually with buying books, you do tend to overexpend early because when you order books, it's not like ordering pencils. You order a dozen pencils, you get a dozen pencils. You order a dozen books, you may only get 10 of them. And then you may get them at a discount. Well, you will get them at a discount, but we don't know the discount until we get it. Because this book may be the kind that we get a 45% discount. We may get a 25% on that one. And so until they come in, you don't know. So it's kind of a crapshoot until you're having to keep spending your discount. So that's why you want to encumber early and then keep spending that way. It's material, book buying is bizarre. But accountants don't like it.
Rolling down the expenditure lines, building and facilities, operations and maintenance, that's under budget by 7%. That's just based on usage. Rent, equipment, buildings, and land, that's right on budget, and it should be because those are defined period amounts. So we're at 50.3% as of mid-year, so that's right on where it should be. Utilities, we're a bit overspent. Part of that is the reimbursement we're getting back, the credit on the software
E-rate.
E-rate, thank you.
Federal subsidy for our telecommunications, which is now starting to kick in.
And then there's a line down there, other expenditures, and those are the other 7 or 8 pages of line items that combine to be a $2 million level. And examples that are mentioned at the top of the report, debt services bundled up in there, that's, you can't, the board has no control of that other than paying it off, and you no longer have debt service. We looked at what line items are interesting to track. So service contracts for hardware and systems, software systems, kind of boring, you're obligated to pay those amounts, that's about $200,000. Vehicle costs, $115,000 budgeted, that bundled up in there. The big one is $570,000 to pay the city of Santa Cruz to do overhead for fiscal accounting, HR, city manager, city attorney, and just general systems support. In there, capital, $140,000. So together, there's a lot of larger line items you're not seeing here, but it may not be as interesting to the board to have. Now, they might be. You might want to see those, and we'll put them in there. I think I've said enough. I can stay on the subject for a while. But fiscally, you're in a good place. You're trending in a good position. The Library Financing Authority just heard earlier today that sales tax is producing better than they thought. Right now, their forecast call for a flat next year, which it's not going to be. I think 3.5%, 3 to 3.5% range is likely an increase we can start planning for next year. That would generate another $200,000 of additional revenue. Beyond the $200,000, we'll see more this year because their projections were a little conservative. So things are pointing in a good direction from a revenue standpoint.
Thanks, Marcus. One of the things I wanted to point out at first, both Dick and I serve on the sub-finance committee, and we've been working on trying to improve the reporting, and together this is one of the efforts. But we don't want to limit anything, so if there's any part of the prior report or the 11 pages that were referenced, those are also available upon request. It was just a matter of providing a snapshot of the finances, and I'll let Dick kind of comment also in terms of that work if you'd like.
I think that it's a work in process to try to fine-tune this so that you don't present too much information and you can understand what's going on from it. And public finance is an interesting area. There's a lot of obscure terms that are used and lots of line items taken up to present it.
And the other thing that we talked about at the finance committee level, there are different things we want to add value to this as this report goes on in its life cycle, is add a comparison to the prior year. We can do that now, except the prior year was an old service model with different operation structures, different personnel cost structures. So it's not really a good comparison tool. But as we start going forward, we'll start picking up good months. And we're not too far away from that, so we'll be adding the prior years probably around July, July time. So we'll have a good year comparison.
Thanks. Are there any comments or questions? Next item is a status update on the facilities master and IT strategic plans.
We're making really good progress. We're coming into the recommendations phase. They're starting to do the analysis and work with us on what the recommendations are going to be. The plan right now is that on March 18th, we will have a study session on the facilities master plan, with both plans hopefully coming up for approval by the board by April 1st. intent, particularly with the five new members, to try to get you all up to speed, will be to meet with you in probably groups of two, maybe one group of three, to review the whole process of what we've gone through with the with these plans, how it's all developed, so that it's not there's no surprises on March 18th. So that's kind of where we're going. We're doing webinars, phone conversations, conference calls. We had a visit. Both consultants made site visits towards the end of January. Met with a number of you. Met with the various jurisdictions. All four of the jurisdictions. Met with the management of those jurisdictions. So we're moving right along. It's quite exciting.
Any questions? Okay, we'll move on then to other business. Next item is the election of the chair and the vice chair. So, Teresa, did you want to?
This is really your thing to do. So, like you did before, opening nominations and all that kind of
any
stuff.
Any nominations?
I'd like to nominate you for chair.
Okay. A second.
You don't need a second.
Okay. So,
yeah, I'd like to.
Nominations?
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Dick.
Okay, Nancy. Dick? Okay, so nominations are closed. Well, we have a vote. For my name, David Terrazas, for chair. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 You may want to do a roll call.
Roll call vote.
Supervisor McPherson?
Aye.
Citizen Gertz?
But don't you say who you're voting for?
Say we are voting for. So we're voting. They're voting for David right now. So who's voting for David?
Or do you just go around and say which?
Could do it that way.
For.
Yeah. Okay, I want to do that. We go around and ask each one and who they're voting for, David or Dick.
Okay.
And I'll track it for you. Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. Councilmember Reed.
David Terrazas.
Councilmember Matthews.
Ms. Terrazas.
Councilmember Termini.
David.
Citizen English.
Somebody's got to vote for me.
Councilmember Terrazas.
Vote for myself.
Supervisor Friend.
Councilmember Terrazas.
Citizen Dexter.
David Terrazas.
Citizen Gert.
Citizen Member English.
Thank you.
Oh, it's, 7. Thank
you. Okay, we'll move on then to vice chair. Thank you. We'll move on to the vice chair. They have a nomination for the vice chair.
Nominate the always honorable Mike Termini.
Okay. So there's any other nominations for vice chair? Okay. Seeing none, we'll just by consent, Mike Termini. Thank you.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Finance Committee appointment. So I apologize for not having a staff report on this. I realized today that maybe I should have had one just to fill in people who, you know, all the new folks again. The Finance Committee meets monthly on basically on a date of mutual agreement of all the members, and we do follow Brown Act in terms of noticing. It's just that we don't have a set date because of different schedules. Marcus has a set meeting that kind of conflicted with our standard time, so we just look at different dates and then publish those. And this committee takes a closer look at financial issues than is possible during the regular board meeting. As Marcus mentioned, the full financial reports, they look at that in a lot more detail and kind of pass things by the Finance Committee before taking them to the board, if, as long as we have our rhythm right. There can be a maximum of four members. There are currently two, David and Dick. Sam did serve on that and obviously isn't anymore. And it has been functioning with three people for 3 years. We had a fourth, but they dropped out, and three is fine. Appointment has basically been through volunteering. I suppose if we have more than four people interested, then there'll have to be some sort of, we don't really have a system. It's not specified anywhere how to do that, so we'd have to work that out. The goal is usually to meet a week or two before the board meeting, but after we have up-to-date reports. And Mark and Helga and I staff that meeting. Currently, the next meeting is scheduled for February 21st, which is next Thursday. We're so off kilter this month because of my schedule. at 6:30, and it usually lasts less than an hour. At the next meeting, we will be electing, the group will be electing a chair and co-chair and set the meeting times for the next 6 months. So there's just kind of an idea of what's coming up.
So we'll open it up for nominations for that committee.
I have no problem taking Sam's place. Except that the next
meeting
is the 21st,
and
we have our budget calendar starts.
So we'll work that out.
Okay, so we can work out rescheduling that day. Is anyone else interested in serving on the committee? Okay.
Just to make sure that you and Dick stay on, do you need a nomination?
No.
It's my volunteer.
This isn't a volunteer. This is really just the fact that we're down to two isn't enough.
Okay. So thank you for serving on this. And then we'll also work, maybe you could send out an email to Skip.
As soon as Mike confirms tomorrow that he can't make the 21st, the four of us.
I was able to check, and I cannot.
You cannot.
Okay,
so we'll
Thursday.
Try to figure out a time. We've got one more week before the board meeting, so we might be able to find a time in that week to do it.
Okay, thanks.
I would be great for me because I don't have to get an agenda out tomorrow. So.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the adoption of the bylaw amendment regarding incumbent citizen member. And Teresa, you authored the memo, but it's from two more members.
Yes, Councilmember Matthews and Citizen Member English asked me to prepare this, and actually it was prepared by the city attorney, not me. I just put it in this format. This was a result of the issue that arose last month when it was determined that citizen members could not serve after January and we were short. And the board had, when they postponed, do you want to do it since
Well, it's housekeeping.
It's housekeeping. Okay.
Really,
sorry.
Housekeeping.
All right, I'll shut up.
So it just allows for continuity of one citizen member until the next one takes office. I don't think we need to say
okay.
more than
Thank
that.
Thank you.
You want to say any more, Dave?
No. I agree.
Great. Just tell me to shut up. It's fine.
Are there any comments?
I'll just
from the board,
oh, yeah.
Or limited to any questions or comments from the audience?
I read earlier Article 12, Section 2 of your bylaws that say that you can't, the bylaws can't be considered to supersede the Joint Exercise of Powers Agreement. And what the Joint Exercise of Powers Agreement says is each citizen member shall serve a four-year term commencing from the January 1st. Closest to their appointment date. So according to the Joint Exercise of Powers Agreement, Citizen Dexter's term began on January 1st. She was appointed tonight, so her term began on January 1st. And since her term began on January 1st, that means somebody else's term ended on January 1st. So your bylaws can't supersede this. So you can't change 4 years to 5 years or 6 years or four and a quarter years. And you can't change January 1st to January 31st or March 31st. So you can approve this amendment, but it will really be null and void because it can't supersede the Joint Exercise of Powers Agreement.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Bring it back. Is there?
Nonetheless, this has been reviewed by the city attorney and found to take care of a loose end.
Motion to approve.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, motion by Councilmember Termini, second by Councilmember Reed. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes unanimously. Okay, generally, I mean, we just move on to the written communications. But
I just wanted to just to inform the kind of once again inform the new board members. What follows is a section of articles of interest, and they're meant to help the board stay current with library trends and developments. It's moved to the end so that it doesn't interfere with the rest of the packet. These are local, state, and national. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. Also, where do we appear in the newspaper? Patron correspondence. If you don't want to see these, let me know. As a group, you know, this can be changed. It's a new board, new interest, so we can have a conversation about what you want to see and what you don't want to see. Some of the other regular features that were added at the request of previous boards are, and they are all included here, the security incidents, always fun reading, the website hits, kind of what people are looking at on our website. The one item that's new is the staff recognition piece. We put together a staff recognition committee, and they, the Friends gave us some funding for some recognition. We've got Jamba Juice, Starbucks, gift cards, all local gift cards, for small amounts. And staff are nominated by other staff, and we we'd like to make this a, we'd like the board to know what the staff's up to and how we're feeling about each other. And so the recognition committee, I keep looking at Kira Hennepin, who's our management analyst, I introduce people, is basically chairing this committee, I guess, or this team, facilitating the team. And so that's what this is here. There's really no action. It's just really to let you know kind of what staff's doing to kind of recognize that. So we kind of wanted to include that for your information.
Supervisor Flynn, you just had a quick question.
Yeah.
Director Winters, I have one quick question. Do you have an idea of how much time it takes to put together some of this information? I mean, is it a staff onus to put together the crime incidents on the website?
The crime incidents we already keep in a spreadsheet.
Okay.
And so it's really just deleting the column with the names. So it doesn't take any time at all. The website stats is also, I don't believe it takes her any time
okay.
because of the report she gets.
I'm just not trying to create extra work.
No.
That's my point.
Yeah. It's,
okay. Thank you.
The website report I don't find useful. It's a lot of data without the information part of it. And so if it's taking people time to put that together, I for one don't find it useful. If there were some way to turn it into a trend, kind of a trending report, then it would I think it would be intelligible. But it's a lot of numbers, and I can't figure out how to use it.
The trending report would be what takes time.
Yeah, and so then, you know, if this
you
is
don't
taking,
want it, that's fine.
This is taking your time.
It was
I, for one, don't find it useful. So
it was at the request of a board member.
Oh, okay.
So wasn't
are,
you?
Are you?
Was
you're
it
collecting it anyway.
Yeah.
You're collecting this data anyway.
Yes, I can ask her how long it takes her to do it. But
I think when we were discussing the web usage, we were looking at who was using the web, and this gives an indication of what types of information people were accessing on the website. That's why I was there.
Yeah.
What I can tell you is that we do have a statistical software package that we're still learning to use. In fact, Barbara Gorson, who was chair of the board and left a year ago, is still working on getting that up and going. That's how complex it is. And once we have that, entering some of this data, we should be able to get better reports out.
Okay.
So in time, also out of our system, should we get a system where we can get better reports, it should be a lot easier to do.
Councilmember Matthews, did you have a question?
Oh, I actually enjoyed that.
That's a really excellent piece of information.
And being a history buff, I mean, I was surprised between the local history articles and the history photos. You know, that's 20,000 hits. I mean, that's a lot. So, thank you.
Okay. And one other piece here is the Felton Library Status Report. Just to fill in once again, new board members, they're... The Baruti family is donating a piece of property in Felton to the county for use as a library. The library has the library board authorized use of Wayland Trust funds that are designated for Felton to pay for the various studies that have needed to be done, traffic studies. They're all here. You can read all the studies. They're all listed here. There's one last piece that we are still working on, which is an MOU between the library, the county, and the Barutis, and they were waiting for Supervisor McPherson to come on board. To finish those discussions, and that's up to the county to schedule. I asked about it; I haven't heard anything. So, we put that in as Teal Messer is the consultant working on that we're paying to. So he gives me this report periodically.
I have a question on that mm-hmm. report. Is there a way to put the action that's taken place into the context of a bigger plan so that I can see, you know, what are the other steps down the road that need to happen?
For the donation of the land?
No, for the whole project. I mean, I can see all these things that are happening right now, but I can't figure out, so where does that go, or what are the next big obstacles that have to be overcome in this project?
Well, this is the land donation to the county, which really...
So it's its own project? Is
it's its own
saying?
Project.
Okay,
and then once the county owns the land, then part of the facilities plan will then be the recommendation for what to do in Felton, and that'll be up to this board. We're really, quite frankly, the library board right now is just funding the studies to get that land donated to the county. The land's not being donated to the library district. So we're kind of a third party to the whole thing, an interested party.
It's through a trust that it's... That
the Whalen money was a trust that has to be used for Felton.
Capital costs?
Yeah. Or can be, I think it can be for operating. No, I think it's capital. I'd have to look at it.
It is capital.
It's capital.
It can be books. That's what it can be, books, mm-hmm. which are capital. Yeah. It can be books. And last, I just, this time, when we get the county, the same thing the Library Financing Authority got that Marcus referred to in terms of the estimates, I just tack it here on the end. So, just this isn't in every month.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to the board meeting calendar. Generally, it's the first Monday. This is unique that we're meeting midweek.
I appreciate it to accommodate my schedule.
But if there's no comments on the calendar, our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, March 4th, and we've been rotating at different branches. So this meeting is going to be held at the Aptos branch on Monday, March 4th, 2013 at 6:30 p.m. And so we'll see you there then. And if there's no other business, I'll call this meeting adjourned.
One quick oral communication. Perhaps we can get a read from Mr. Barisoni about the, thank you for bringing up the inconsistencies and conflicts between the financing board and the charter, the bylaws and ours. And, you know, it'd be nice to, with all of our housekeeping, granted, needed to be done, we need to just follow back and make sure that we're all going according to plan.
I can provide that to you formally at the next
great
meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Okay, I call this meeting adjourned.